And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm looking right now on the left screen here in the studio. We're getting to this first dipper with the Law and Order piece, and there's a story going right now where there is it's believed to be a targeted shooting in Birmingham this past weekend, and that there is a $100,000 reward out for people who may have information that leads to the arrest and conviction of whoever conducted the hit and or the hit itself. So yeah, that's a horrible situation. Listen, the problem we've got right now is that liberal policies are the true crime. Let's not lose sight in the middle of everything that we're talking about here that murder is already a crime. It is. Depending on how you murder somebody is not necessarily going to make it more murderous, and I'm not trying to belittle it when I say that. But what I am saying is the weapon used in a violent crime is not near as important as the thwarting and the conviction thereafter of the violent criminal. That's where you want the focus to be. So Mayor Randall Woodfin is right now up on the screen here in the CNN screen in the studio, saying there is a $100,000 reward out, and we'll see where that goes. I don't fault him for the reward. I'm good with that. Go find the person. Get them off the streets forever, because what happened was a horrible thing. But y'all, the policies that we see in blue cities, they never want to question their own policies. They don't want to take any ownership over the things they helped establish, because if you get down to it, the environment in which they work, in the military, we call it shaping the battle space. It's not just about, you know, the actual law enforcement guys, the men and women in blue. Sometimes it's about the policies, the enforcement capabilities, the funding. It's about the environment, the shaping of the battle space, if you will. And the blue city mayors and liberal councils that run those cities, including Birmingham and Montgomery, are so often willing to defer and deflect to somebody else for the blame for the things that are ruining their cities. Here's the thing. I don't have to look hard to see the difference. I can look at Birmingham, and I can see mass shootings, and I can see urban decay, and I can see a declining population base that dropped them in the last 10 years from being the biggest city in our state to the now third biggest city in our state. Just in 10 years, they've dropped that far. I can see all the things happening, and I can see Mayor Randall Woodfin talking about how the legislature won't do enough to help us eradicate gun violence. And yet I can look north of him about a little over an hour, and there's Huntsville, with an entirely different dynamic, with an entirely different form of leadership, and oh, by the way, with an entirely different shaping of the battle space. Let us not forget that when someone is in charge, they're either in charge or they're not. And if you're going to blame somebody else every time something happens, then maybe you're not really in charge. Or maybe at that point, you're just literally an accuser as opposed to, you know, a leader. I got a story here, and I'm going to go broad and then come back in. But I got a story here that flows into what I'm talking about. The city of Oakland, California. I mean, what a beautiful area. Oakland, it's you know, across the bay from San Francisco. Oakland, California, just a gorgeous place. Well, the Hilton Hotel has been next to the Oakland, California airport now for 56 years. It's been a thriving business for 56 years. They just shut their doors and laid off 150 workers. Not because people can't stay there anymore. It's because people don't want to stay there anymore. 150 workers lost their jobs, one of which was a bellman who'd been there for 35 years working. He loved that place. If it was just the hotel, you'd go, well, you know, maybe the hotel got old or something. No. Right down the street, the only In-N-Out Burger in restaurant in Oakland closed. They closed, they said, because of regular car break-ins, property damage, theft, and armed robberies of customers and employees that led their decision to shut down in March of this year. A neighboring Denny's also shut down in January after 54 years. Two Starbucks locations and another local diner have all closed. Violent crime in Oakland is up 21% from the previous year. 120 homicides, 3,531 aggravated assaults, 3,690 robberies. A crime surge that prompted the companies of Blue Shield and Clorox to both provide security guards for their workers so they wouldn't be mugged in the parking lot. That's what happens when, by the way, the mayor of Oakland, what is she doing? What's her name? Xing Thao? Xing Thao is currently under a recall vote right now. And yet she's also being investigated for corruption, had her house raided. But Xing Thao is blaming everybody else. It's not her. It's not her policies. It's not liberal policies. Surely not. So what do we know about what happened closer to home? Got a pretty lengthy story here from AL.com. And they say that more than 100 shots from at least one fully automatic weapon left four people dead, 17 others wounded on Saturday night. Three of them died on the scene. Another one died a short time later at UAB Hospital. It is believed that the suspected target of the shooting was among the dead. In other words, this was a targeted shooting. They think there was even a murder-for-hire situation here. But the police chief, Chief Thurmond, said this was not the location, it was the person. So wherever the person was where it was going to take place. And wherever they catch that, wherever they catch that individual, that's where they happened to catch them. I think the police chief's statement deserves to be taken at face value. I think it's also fair to say, though, that what he just said is contrary to what the mayor says. Because the mayor came out and immediately said, it's about Glock switches. No, by the way, they have not announced yet what kind of weapon was involved. Someone, one of my other articles, where is it? Maybe it's in this article. Hang on, I can find that spot where they said they, yeah. Authorities strongly believe that Glock switches were involved. Okay, why? I don't know. No one knows. They did say that somebody said they heard what sounded like a gun shooting with a Glock switch. And listen, I've been around a lot of guns firing on both full auto and semi-auto. And I don't know how you can go, I think that one sounds like it has a Glock switch. I don't know how that works. But the bottom line is this. The police chief said it wasn't the location, it was the person. That is the issue here. The issue is that there is a person who was targeted, and there is a person who did the targeting, and there was a shooter who may or may not have been the one who issued the hit. We don't know yet, but it sounds like from what they think they know that it was a murder for hire, meaning someone paid somebody else to go do the shooting. All I know is the bad guys did the bad things. The gun didn't get there on its own. The Glock switch, I don't know that it made much of a difference. If you have any kind of competency at all, So one of my chosen firearms is the Glock 19. Glock 19 in 9mm. And if you practice a little bit, you can change out a mag. I'm trying to think now, what is my Glock? Is it 14-1? So it's a double stack magazine, and when you're firing that thing, you can rack off some rounds, drop that magazine, and change out in a matter of seconds and keep going. Can you burn through them quicker if you have a Glock switch on there? I guess so, yeah. I don't know that that's the thing that killed people, though. And I'm not trying to minimize. This is not me. I'm not just here today to minimize the fact that four people were murdered. I'm not. What I am trying to say is the mayor needs to quit trying to minimize this as being the gun. It's the climate of murder that his policies are creating that's the problem. It's the lack of shaping of his battle space, if you will. It's his ability to deflect and defer to others as being at fault than for him to ever say, you know what? We have a cultural problem right here in Birmingham, and by God, I'm going to stop it. He has yet to do that. Multiple shooters apparently pulled up in a car, exited, opened fire, and then left. Opened fire on a crowd of people that were waiting to get into a club. I believe it's called the Hush Lounge. It's like a hookah bar kind of club. Anyway, it says that officers from the city's other precincts were all brought in to help control the chaos. At least 50 Birmingham Fire and Rescue Service personnel were there. 15 units overall responded. Police quickly cordoned off blocks-wide perimeter as hundreds stood among the chaos, crying and trying to find their loved ones. It was a horrible situation, man. It was horrible. More than 100 shell casings, as well as other evidence, were collected at the scene. Police are now poring over surveillance cameras and other footage from the scene. And here's the thing. The mayor comes out and says, Glock switches are the number one public safety issue in our city and state. No, friggin' they're not. Glock switches are not the number one public safety issue. That's like the knuckleheads that say, climate change is the existential threat. No, it is not. Though illegal under federal law, the mayor says, there is no state law that makes Glock switches illegal. So what he wants is, he wants a state-level felony. He wants an extra law. He wants it to be doubly illegal. He says, every mayor, police chief, sheriff, and district attorney I know wants Glock switches outlawed. Converting a semi-automatic weapon to a fully automatic weapon that discharges all of its bullets within seconds doesn't belong in our domestic streets. Maybe that's true. That is not the reason why four people were murdered. He goes on to say, this is a solvable problem. Gun violence is an epidemic crisis in our country. It requires everyone to come together. Listen, here's the bottom line. Birmingham has a problem. In fact, I'll give you this before we go to the break. Birmingham, Alabama, AL.com, Dateline, yesterday. Birmingham could break a tragic 91-year-old record after multiple mass shootings. It says it's impossible to know what's in store for Birmingham in the last 3 months of 2024, but Saturday's mass shooting that killed four people in Five Points put the city closer to breaking its annual record for homicides that was set back in 1933. So we're talking about a near 100-year-old record. It's amazing to me that we had 148 murders in 1933. But this year so far, we've already had 122 in Birmingham. At that rate that Birmingham has gone so far in 2024, the city could easily have 27 or more before January 1st, which would break a 91-year-old record. Here's the interesting point. The city is now smaller than it was in 1933. Think about that. It's literally almost 25% smaller in population than it was in 1933. So in 1933, you had 269,000 people in Birmingham alone, with 5.7 homicides for every 10,000. In 2024, you have 197,000 people. We're literally at 73,000 less. Birmingham has a rate of 6.2 homicides per 10,000. We have fewer people and more per capita, and yet we're still about to potentially break the record for homicides in Birmingham, Alabama. Y'all, it's time for the mayor to shape the battle space a little bit. And I don't mean call out gun control. I mean, it's time for him to actually put policies in place that enable law enforcement and upfund law enforcement and do things to promote community corrections. And I'm just saying, you got to start looking at things differently, Mayor. You can't keep doing it the way you're doing it. It's insanity. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Let's take that break. We'll come right back. I'll tell you, there's some things that happened, though, down in Montgomery. Montgomery's got problems too, but you know what? I'm a little bit encouraged by some stuff I just learned about Montgomery's law enforcement capability. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so back on number one of the Triple Dipper, and don't forget, coming up here top of the hour, we'll have our buddy Scott Buttram calling in with his thoughts about Birmingham and the issues of crime therein. Montgomery this past weekend had a gun buyback. I'm not a huge believer that, in fact, studies show that gun buyback programs are really kind of a waste of time, but they say they got 106 firearms, but I want to know how many of those were people who had them illegally and would have done bad things if they kept them. Most of them were people that were like, well, here's this broken pistol that my granddaddy left behind. I'm sure that's... So $8,000 they spent, but they said it was a big success, got a lot of public, you know, publicity out of it, some virtue signaling. But here's the thing. I am pleased with this. I will call it good when I see it. And right now, what I know of this I'm about to tell you is good. So Montgomery's got a problem. They've got a real crime problem, almost as bad as Birmingham. And it's been notorious of late. But Montgomery has started a new unit called the Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit, MACS, M-A-C-S for short, MACS. MACS is designed to address escalating crime in the capital city, with state and local law enforcement officials boasting of its success in impacting crime. So basically, it's a task force that was put together by ALEA, which is state troopers, Attorney General Steve Marshall's office, Montgomery County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Derek Cunningham, and the interim Montgomery Police Chief, James Grebois. So they put together a task force that has a collaborative effort from all these state and local law enforcement agencies, and they're cracking down on crime. And I'm glad of it. I mean, we need more of that. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking this is good. It says, since its inception, and I realize this is their stats, but I have no reason to distrust it. It says, Max has conducted 1,300 traffic stops, served 347 outstanding arrest warrants, has arrested 127 individuals, recovered 16 stolen vehicles, seized 83 firearms. 17 of those firearms contained machine gun conversion devices called switches. Additionally, Max made 30 drug seizures, including one significant seizure of fentanyl that was enough to kill over 5,000 people had it remained on the streets. So the Montgomery Police Department is really working, and I hope that continues. I don't know much more about it than what I just told you. I found that this morning as I was resourcing the show. And I look at it and think, well, good on them. And they just started this in June. So Montgomery was having serious issues with violent crime. But rather than just blaming people, they decided to get busy. And I'm hoping what that means is we're going to see a surge in policing and a downtick in violent crime. I want to know what it's going to take for Birmingham to do that. What will it take for the leadership of the Woodfin administration? Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin has got to get out of his own way. He's without even knowing what weapons are used, he went straight to that. We gotta ban Glock switches because I need some penalties out there. I need some Class C felonies. In fact, I mean, listen, okay, guys, if the legislature wants to do it, they can, but that is not going to stop violent crime. In fact, where is the article I had just in my hands a moment ago? Yeah, they literally want to convert this to a matter of a 10-year sentence if you're caught with a Glock switch, 25 years if you shoot someone with a Glock switch, and an automatic life sentence if you murder somebody with a Glock switch. I guess it makes it more murderous to shoot somebody with a Glock switch than just a regular gun. That's not the issue. Coming up next, Scott Buttram. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, blow me down. I'm sitting here in the studio, and we're trying to call my buddy Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune on the phone to get him on the air. And he goes, well, I'm walking up the stairs. And so he is live in studio. Scotty Buttram, how you doing?
Man, you know if I'm in the neighborhood, I got to stop in.
This is good.
Stop and see you guys.
This is always better.
Yeah, it is. It's more fun.
Well, it absolutely is. First of all, thank you for coming and joining us.
Glad to be here. Busy news weekend for us.
yeah, newspaper guy. I mean, this is and not good news either necessarily.
No, it is terrible. And Phil, a lot of your listeners may not be aware of Trustful's location. They know us in the Jefferson County area. Yeah. Our city limits run up to the Birmingham city limits.
Yeah.
And Irondale and some other cities, but that's obviously the biggest city, and we do connect. I don't know if you're aware, after the mass shooting on Saturday night, there was another shooting of three people last night.
No, where was that one?
This was in Eastlake.
Oh, my gosh.
I have not gotten this information, but Carol Robinson, who I trust explicitly.
From AL.com? Yeah.
Outstanding crime reporter.
Yeah.
Carol talked to some of the officers at the shooting last night in Eastlake. Now, Eastlake almost abuts Trustful.
Yeah, it does.
It's very, very close to Trussell. So according to some officers she talked to, they are suspicious that the shooting of three people last night was connected to the mass shooting of 21 people the night before.
God almighty. I didn't even know that one had occurred, so that bothers me. Right. I mean, East Lake, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, my National Guard unit, we used to jog around the lake.
That's there, right.
Just, you know, and it's just so sad to see it. I wrote a piece, it's been a few years now, but I wrote a piece once, and I called it "The Magic City is Becoming the Tragic City."
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it is.
Well, it is. And it's been this way for a while. You know, I was looking at the population. Birmingham right now is on track to break their all-time homicide record.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're on track for 160, I believe, at this moment. The record is 144. Birmingham has led the state in homicides my entire life, and I'm 63. So it's that is who they are. No matter who's controlling the city, no matter who's majority, who's minority, it's been a homicide capital for my entire life. It's gotten worse. Well, here's something we're not really talking about a lot. The highest count was 144 homicides. Last year, or year before last, I believe, was the second highest in over 20 years. It hit right in the 140 mark. Okay, but you go back to the 1970s, Birmingham had a population of 340,000.
Yeah.
They're under 200,000. They're approaching 190 now.
Yeah.
I think by the time 2030 census comes out, they're going to be looking at 50% of their highest population. I think they're going to be down in the 170 range. But, Phil, you know what nobody's talking about? Beginning in late 70s, when Richard Arrington came into office, as a matter of fact, Birmingham went through massive annexations. They took in tens of thousands of people, annexing more and more property, primarily to get over to 280 and try to create a good commercial tax base. So the Summit is in the center, is in the city of Birmingham. Going out 280 toward the east, a lot of that is the city of Birmingham. Nobody talks about the fact that their population has now fallen to around 190,000.
Yeah. Yep.
And we look at that 340,000 mark as their high mark. But there were probably another 50 to 70,000 people brought in during that era when they were losing.
Listen,
so they've lost a lot more than that.
Yeah, I got an article here by Carol Robinson, by the way.
Okay.
And she points out that not only are we looking at breaking a 91-year-old homicide record,
right,
but that we are sitting at a place where the record was in 1933 and the population was 74,000 more people than we have now, and we're still going to break the record.
Well, as I sit here and say, nobody has reported on the population difference. Leave it to Carol to go in there and dig it up. And this is the exact stuff I was looking at this morning. 100% accurate. She's dead on the money. Birmingham has lost far more than the 50% of the 340,000.
Yeah.
And now you see why. Horrible schools. And do we need to remind people that Mayor Randall Woodfin is former school board president Randall Woodfin?
That'd be liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can blame it on Glock switches.
I was
on with Jeff this morning, and I said, Jeff, look, there's already a federal law banning Glock switches.
Yep.
It's a little different. The switch has to be, I do believe, installed and operable for it to be illegal. And the bill that Philip Ensler from Montgomery has put up is a little more liberal. I mean, it's not more liberal. It's get rid of it, period. You can't possess it. If you use it in a shooting, Randall Woodfin wants a penalty there. If somebody dies and you use it, he wants a higher penalty. I told Jeff, this will probably surprise people. I say go ahead and give that to them. Pass that bill. Give them that. I don't think it violates a gun law because I don't think a Glock switch is a gun. It's not going to change anything.
But that's the point. And I agree with you. The bill is almost – look, if you want to do it, it's a gimme. But it's like saying we believe that murder is more murderous if you murder people with more murdering.
Right.
You know, it's just
– Right.
At some point, there has to be an acknowledgement that you can't just blame the device. You have to blame the culture that has been created. And I use the analogy earlier – In the military, we call it shaping the battle space. The commander is not just about the men who fight. It's also all the other enabling effects you use to shape the battle space.
That's right. They're going to take on your personality.
And they do nothing to shape the battle space.
Nothing. Nothing. In fact, they go the opposite way, okay?
Yeah.
We're talking about a mayor who has told his police officers, don't enforce marijuana laws.
Nope. Not at all.
We're not a sanctuary city, but don't enforce immigration laws.
Yeah.
Don't enforce gambling laws.
Nope.
And you want to pick into it. Now, let's remember why
he also banned the use of flashbang grenades, and he banned the use of no-knock warrants.
That's right. He's taking tools away, and in the same out of the other side of his mouth, he is saying, our officers, bring back the concealed carry permits. Our officers need those tools. No, Mayor, you've taken multiple tools off the table for those officers.
Yep.
So the concealed carry permit, that's not going to change anything. I understand what he's saying, and you do too. If a guy's got a concealed gun and he doesn't have a permit and one's required, yes, that opens the door to dig a little deeper into that guy. But don't remove all these other tools that those officers had, because if they smell marijuana, they could have gone into the car.
That's exactly right.
And you've told your officers, we don't do marijuana arrests.
It's like that broken windows theory of policing. If you let the low-level crimes go,
that's right,
then they'll go from the low level to the upper level because there's no penalty to keep them
that's
from
right.
going to the upper level. The broken windows theory just says if you got a neighborhood where kids throw rocks through windows with impunity, they will graduate to bigger crimes because no one stops them.
That's exactly right.
And
we're on the same page, Phil. They've created a culture of we don't care. We're going to look the other way on this thing, that thing. Don't stand there as mayor and tell me you take crime seriously. You just had to close your jail.
Yeah.
Because it was about to be condemned.
Yeah.
You've put no money into it. You can't keep it open. You don't take crime seriously. The guy is a joke. He's a complete joke. And Birmingham is paying the price for it. It's going to get worse.
It is. And at the same time, I wonder why no one is pointing out that on his watch, Birmingham declined in population so far between two censuses. That's 10
right.
years.
That's right.
On his watch, they went from being the largest city in the state to the third largest.
I don't
see why no one's holding them accountable.
Yeah, well, I'm going to just tell you, I'm not so sure they're not fourth. I think if we looked at the real numbers, they actually are probably around fourth because they're not counting Mobile's annexations when they put Birmingham at third.
So. Holy cow.
Yeah. So when that census comes out, I think clearly Birmingham's going to be about fourth. This is something I pointed out on social media over the weekend. I think you may have seen it. Most people know the Birmingham metro area is the largest metro area in the state of Birmingham, our state
right.
of Alabama,
right.
by a
long
way.
It sprawls.
Jefferson County, far and away the most populous county in the state. Birmingham accounts for 29% of the Jefferson County population. Birmingham accounts for 79% of homicides.
Wow.
80% of the homicides are coming from less than 30% of the people in the county of Jefferson County.
Oh, my gosh.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
And we're going to pretend again that, you know, yeah, give them the Glocks. It's one excuse after another. What we're not seeing is anybody taking this seriously, and we're seeing an awful lot of funerals in Birmingham, Alabama.
And the reality is, too, elections have consequences at every level.
Right.
Because leadership at the municipal level sometimes can impact your life as much
right.
or more so than what happens in D.C.
And I predict Randall Woodfin will win his third term. I think he will. I think he'll win it going away.
Well, he's cool.
He's very cool. He danced on the rooftops after his last political victory.
Wears tennis shoes with his suits.
Oh, yeah. And he's got all the buzzwords that the young people get and they understand. And in the meantime, they're burying their kids.
Yeah. And those same young kids, by the way, will also try to buy a house out in Mountain Brook because they don't want to live in Birmingham.
Or Hoover or Homewood or Trustful or wherever they can get out and go to. If they've got children, they've got no choice.
All right, we got to take a break, my brother. All right, we're taking a break right now. I'm in studio with the Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, talking about all things law and order. And what's it going to take, man? What's it going to take for the most beautiful city, Birmingham, to come back? It's going to take a change of policy, that's what. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades up in here. So I am back in the studio with my brethren in news, Scott Buttram, publisher from the Trustful Tribune. Scott, so you and I were comparing notes, by the way, off the air. Yeah. I got to bring this back up. So you and I both have a fondness for Birmingham and even parts of Birmingham that most folks consider to be the most declined.
Yeah.
I did a lot of my growing up going to my granny's house in Wylam over West Birmingham and running around in Inslee and out towards Pleasant Grove and all that area. But yeah. You did too, apparently.
I did. Both of my great-grandparents lived on Bush Boulevard.
Man, yeah.
Not in the mansions. They were in the smaller bungalows. Yeah. But so my grandparents, their parents just lived several blocks from each other. My grandparents built their first home in Bush Hills.
Yes.
About three blocks from where their parents lived. And I would go to my granddad's dentist office with him in the Ramsey McCormick building in the heart of Inslee.
Yep.
Did that all my life as a little kid. Ran those streets, 9, 10 years old by myself. You know, couldn't have been any safer.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Areas that I would hesitate to drive through in broad daylight today as a kid, we had the run of it. And it was a wonderful area.
I'm only a few years behind you. I'm 59, but I used to run around Inslee and Wylam barefoot, you know, up and down the streets.
Absolutely.
At night. I mean, literally under streetlights.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't let my kids out of the house now in some of those neighborhoods.
No, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it
you
really
know
is.
What's funny? I drove through there when they tore down the Ramsey McCormick building.
Okay.
I drove down then because I had so many memories in that building. Just wanted to see it one more time before. You know, it was a pile of rubble. But I took that time to go up Bush Boulevard. My great-grandparents' homes, this is on my grandmother's side and my grandfather's side, both homes are still there. My great-aunt and uncle lived around the corner. That house is still there. He went on to become the third mayor of Vestavia.
Oh, wow.
And the house my grandparents built, I've actually walked through a couple of different times in Bush Hills. It's still a beautiful area. It's so well kept in that part of Birmingham. But it just breaks my heart to see what's happening to the city. I have such great memories and a great love for Birmingham, but I don't understand the direction they've taken.
I don't either. And I said this earlier in the show, and you can chime in on this for the next few minutes if you want to, but I look at it and think, okay, I see Mayor Woodfin.
Yeah.
Blaming policies and blaming the laws coming out of the Republican majority in the legislature and all of that. I see him saying all these things are the problem, and yet I can look just about an hour and 15 minutes north of him to Huntsville, and there's an entirely different dynamic in the same state, subject to the same state laws, and yet they are running things differently and expanding. And dynamic economy. And I recognize that some of that is government driven because Redstone Arsenal is there and that kind of thing, but nonetheless, what we're seeing here is an absolutely different version of how to run a city.
Absolutely. You could even make a closer comparison, as I mentioned earlier, in Jefferson County, 600,000 plus people in Jefferson County.
Yeah.
29% of the population is the city of Birmingham, and they're accounting for 79% of the homicides. So in Jefferson County, you've got multiples. There are probably more cities in Jefferson County than any other county in the state of Alabama. And you're not having this issue in all these other cities. They're bordering Birmingham.
Yep.
This is a Birmingham problem. I have said for years and years, in Alabama's violent crime rate is pretty high. Homicides are pretty high for us as a state. We don't have a homicide problem in the state of Alabama. We have a Birmingham problem in the state of Alabama.
Wow.
You eliminate Birmingham, and Alabama runs to the middle of the pack in a real big hurry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an amazingly difficult stat to think about.
It's starting to take my sympathy away for the people of Birmingham. At what point do we say, this is what you voted for, we have to assume this is what you want?
Yeah, it's like looking at Gaza and going, you keep voting Hamas in as your leadership.
No, they made Hamas a supermajority in their legislature.
I know I just compared Randall Woodfin to Hamas. I didn't mean to really do that. But
no, I understand what you're saying.
The point is, you keep electing people with policies that do the things they do.
Right.
Why do you do that?
Yeah.
And then you wonder why your babies are dying in the street.
And the body count's not quite as high in Birmingham as it is in Gaza, but they're shooting for it. No pun intended.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, listen, I think the bottom line is this. Change the policies, change the lifestyle.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And leadership means something. There's an old phrase that I used to use a lot. I think I picked it up from a Bible study. As goes the king, so goes the country.
That's right.
And the leadership can make a difference. And every time we see good leaders try to rise up and work, you get the same old cronies who come in and go, well, you didn't pay homage to this this church on the corner that's going to want some of that little something you got. And then you didn't go down and kiss the ring for that that leader in the community who's gotten nothing good done in 30 years, but you still got to kiss the ring. And then, oh, by the way, maybe skin color is part of what we're looking for, too. It gets ridiculous.
It does. And this leadership, let's remember, Birmingham is an overwhelmingly majority Democrat city. Okay. What's the number one issue with Alabama Democrats? Chris England, Tabitha Eisner, we hear them talking about it all the time. They want more people out of prison and back on the streets.
Yeah.
How does that become a party's number one issue anyway? But every high crime area in the state of Alabama is a Democrat controlled area, and their number one thing is put more criminals back on the street. This is beyond reason.
It's starting to look like Snake Plissken ought to come in and do Escape from New York in Birmingham.
Listen, it's not so far-fetched
awful.
Anymore, is
that's
it?
That's awful. I shouldn't be talking like that, but that's awful. Listen, the bottom line is you and I are both sitting here loving Birmingham and also brokenhearted over Birmingham.
Absolutely.
And this has got to change, and it's not going to change until they have a change in leadership and policy. My brother, Scott Buttram. So good to see you, my friend.
Always good to get face-to-face with you, man.
Absolutely.
I wish we could do it every week.
Don't tease me with that.
We have jobs. We can't do that.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I mean this one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, let me jump. I got a bunch of texts. I got a bunch of texts I got to catch up on. And I also got somebody on the line. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana's on the line. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. How you?
I am well. What's shaking? What you thinking about?
Hey, you know, we're just going to have to get a little smarter than some of these Democrats. You know, every time there's a shooting, all they do is come out and call for gun control.
Yep.
Even though the, you know, per capita, you know, Birmingham doesn't have, you know, probably a tenth as many guns per capita as anybody outside Birmingham. You know, everybody, you know, out in the rural areas, you know, 95% of those people all have guns.
Yeah, they got major gun control in Chicago, and look how that's going for them.
Exactly. So if you're a politician, a Republican politician, and listen to this right now, please do this. If the next shooting and everything that happens, and the press asks you, you know, what you're going to do about it and what needs to be done about it, come out and just look at them straight in the eye and say, well, we need Democrat control. Because Democrat is... And I'm serious, because all I do is preach gun control. We need to preach Democrat control, because it's not the guns that are killing people. It's Democrat policies that's killing people.
Wow. Democrat control. I like it. I'm for Democrat control. That's
there's your next shirt, buddy. I mean, put it on there. We need Democrat control.
I don't know. I mean, I look at the whole thing, too, and I'm thinking – sooner or later, they've got to realize that electing the same people over and over again may be the reason why people are dying in their streets. Just saying.
You know, it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to be a Democrat, as it's shown. Because, you know, these people aren't smart enough to figure out how to keep from bad things. They complain about bad things happening to them, but yet they keep electing the same people that caused the bad things to happen to them. So,
yeah.
You know, blessed are the weak of mind, I guess. Bless their heart.
just go with bless their heart. That's where it is right now. All right, man. Exactly. Where are you at right now? You driving?
I'm 36 miles south of Nashville, heading up north.
Okay. Well, you got it going on. 36 miles. You're making pretty good time today. So we'll just pray you on through, brother.
There you go.
All right. We'll see you, man. Take care. I got a bunch of texts, man. See what I got here. I'm going to get some of y'all's. Oh, my gosh. Big Rig? What in the world?
I don't know. You're famous or something.
I don't know about that. Scott from Somerville says, I missed the monologue. Can you do it again? No. But you can go get it again, Scott. That was a great segue for me to be able to say, all you got to do to get that is go to our podcasting. So every single day, Big Rig takes the show. He kind of condenses it down, cleans it up, enhances the audio, and puts it out there in podcast form. So if you missed the monologue, Scott, you can absolutely get it again. This one was called Project White Star, and it was a sort of a combination of Special Forces history and a call to arms or call to action. Nani from Beverly Hills, Florida says, go Leave It to Beaver. There's meatloaf. There's a scene or a quote about meatloaf. And hey, we may have to check that out. You hear that, Big Rig? We don't have to go with Will Ferrell. We can go to Leave It to Beaver. If they got a Leave It to Beaver meatloaf quote, we may need to use that.
I'll check it out.
Okay. Jim from Grove Oaks. Oh, wait. She just said something else, too. She says, or did she? Maybe I missed that. Okay. Jim from Grove Oaks says, hey, Colonel, there's a reference to meatloaf in the movie A Christmas Story. See, we got all kinds of non-Will Ferrell examples, Big Rig. That's what I'm saying. No Will Ferrells. Bo from Coleman says, I believe the person needs to get his justification for what they did. It's not the guns. It's the people behind the guns. They just don't have the minds of their own. Yeah, you're right. TL from Huntsville says, you are right, Phil. The Birmingham mass shooting is not just a local soft-on-crime problem. If the weapon had a switch, many articles are noting that most of the Glock switches flooding into our country from China because of federal soft-on-China policies and federal open borders. These are being used in violent crimes in many other cities because of bad policies. And by the way, you can ban them, but guess who winds up using them then? Criminals. Steve from Coleman, get you something from the group meatloaf. So everybody's got an opinion about the meatloaf thing. We'll figure it out. We're going to have a Meatloaf Monday sound effect at some point. Jeff from Indiana says, he texted in, he says, I got a resupply today, and he's got a whole big old jar of pickled eggs. And I'm just going to say right now, my diverticulitis is staring at that going, no, 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 no. No pickled eggs were not meant to be pickled. In fact, an egg that is fermented is not a good egg anymore.
I just hope he has a fish sandwich to wash it down with.
Ah, it's awful, man. That's just awful. And a bumpy road to ride on after that. JT Lacey Springs says, would it seem time for Governor Ivey to send in the National Guard? No, but I will say this. Legislators are considering right now how best to address crime in cities where they basically don't enforce well. I think that Montgomery seems to be stepping things up. I hope that's the case. But we need to see Birmingham make some changes. Lee from Huntsville says, Mayor Woodfin also wants a repeal of constitutional carry. That's a big fat no from me, she says. The problem in Birmingham is culture. If he's not willing to address that, he's not a serious person. Well, he's not willing to address that, and he's not a serious person. So there you have it. David from Bucky's says, Phil, just heard Fox News reported on WVNN that violent crime rate went down in 2023. It's a given that the Biden-Harris administration will take credit for the reduction in crime. My question is, what has the current administration done to affect reduction in crime? Absolutely nothing. In fact, you know what? A story I didn't even get to in my stack of resources here. Where is it? Hang on 1 second as I flip through pages. Bam. Story on theblaze.com. David from Bucky's. You are spot on, brother. Says theblaze.com, as of 2 days ago, a media pushes a misleading crime statistic to protect the Democrats' narrative. There you go. Latest data released from the Department of Justice's National Crime Victimization Survey reveals a sharp increase in violent crime if you look at Biden-Harris administration compared to when Donald Trump left office. Yeah, they'll say just the opposite. But during the ABC News presidential debate, David Muir, the you know, non-biased moderator, David Muir noted, President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is coming down. But Muir would have been more accurate if he had said the number of crimes reported to police fell, which is not the same as total crime. Because we're finding that fewer victims are reporting crime. Since 2020, it says total serious violent crimes, as in rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, the categories that correspond to the FBI's measure of violent crime, has soared. Total violent crime was 55.4% higher in 2023 than when Biden-Harris took office. Rapes are up by 42%, robbery by 63%, aggravated assault by 55%. The increases are by far the largest percentage of increases. But the Associated Press ran a fact check after President Trump held a press conference relying on a statement from the Bureau of Justice stating that victimization was higher. But the AP doesn't mention whether the rate is statistically different than in 2020 or 2021. It's just they play with smoke and mirrors. David from Bucky's, thank you for your text. They play with smoke and mirrors to portray things as being what needs to fit their narrative, period. Dave from Hazel Green says, oh, well, it's too late now. He says, hey, Phil, can you ask Scott Buttram? He's related to the actor Pat Buttram, i.e. Mr. Haney from Green Acres. If so, then he and I are related. Dave, I do not know this, but I will check with my brother Scott Buttram to find out if indeed he is. I love Mr. Haney. You got to buy the things right now. We got them all. Specialist Edwards from Madison says, hey, Colonel, bad thing is when we do have to go in there or whoever goes in there to straighten all this out, the bomb damage assessment is going to be very, very, very high. Yeah. Alan from ARAB says, hey, Phil, would you like to see the numbers of young kids playing those violent video games? They're living out their video game fantasies in these Birmingham shootings. Also, maybe the mayor has stock in funeral homes. Listen, you know what? You can play video games, you know, first-person shooters. You can play video games and not be a murderer, though. In fact, I would say that the 99.99% of the people that play first-person shooter video games don't actually commit murder.
I agree. I grew up, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I grew up playing some crazy video games. And, you know, I have no desire to murder anybody or anything. No,
and look at Birdman, who does one of our podcasts, the Right Click podcast. Mm-hmm. He was a professional gamer. Call of Duty was his specialty.
Yeah.
Just saying. Last four, and then we'll go to a break. Brian from Athens just says, the meatloaf. That's all he says, the meatloaf. What does that mean? The meatloaf. That's quite the text. Brian from Athens, thank you. John from Huntsville says, pickled eggs is nature's candy. That is just, no, it is not. It's just a nastiness. It's a nastiness. Not nasty. It's a nastiness.
Eggs should not be soaked in juice.
It's.
Or whatever it is.
Don't ever say that to me again. But yes. And by the way, Jeff from Indiana has texted in and goes, Phil, this truck has a diesel engine in it. It'd be much more efficient if it had a natural gas engine because only a few of those pickled eggs would probably get down the road. I could ball by myself. Boy, ain't right. And then last one for the break, Donna from Coleman says, if you're going to talk about Democrat control, then I'm going to talk about Republican control. Shooter in Butler, PA was a registered Republican. Donna, no, he wasn't. He was not. Go back and look at the facts again. In fact, he had most recently given money to a Democrat cause. No, he had already flipped that switch quite a while back. And I guess you'll go ahead and tell me the guy that spent 12 hours laying in a hide site on the golf course waiting for Trump was also a registered Republican, because in 2016 he voted for him. Never mind the fact that he supported multiple Democrat candidates and decided he wanted to kill Trump thereafter. Just saying. All right. Get your facts straight, Donna. We're going to move on right now. Take a break. Come right back. I'll put a lid on this one. And then coming up top of the hour, we're going to switch gears and talk some policy with my friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.